Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Hill phone blue.
I am in so much pain right now. I'm just saying this now so we never do this again. Have an early morning podcast.
I wondered about it too. I was just talking to Andy. I said, Lori was like, I could do 8:30. I could do 8:30 in the morning. Cause I got to sleep at 3 last night. Cause I'm in New York doing that thing that New York comics do, which is a set at 1 o'clock in the morning and then figure out how to get back to Brooklyn.
Wait, did you ever take the train back or did you lift all the way?
I've always been lifting back.
Boo! Oh, I understand back.
I've taken the train several times. I had to turn down a set last night and then try to pick up an extra. Didn't work. But
Explain.
Okay, so I was offered 3 sets over at Greenwich.
Yeah.
But my 3 of my friends from college live here, and a friend of Andy's from college lives here, by the way. And the friends from college of mine, we went to dinner last night. And so I had to turn down the 8:30. So I had a 10:30 and a 12:30.
Yeah.
But I also tried to add this barbershop that's on Saturday nights, which is sort of on Second Avenue. Sort of near the village, not far.
Yeah.
And that would have been at 11, but he didn't get back to me. So, but he was probably full, you know, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but Friday was nuts. I did that thing where you go to different places and do sets and you worry about getting there.
It's not enjoyable.
It is not particularly enjoyable.
No, if it's, you worry the entire time, all night, especially, you know, if you have like an hour and a half between spots, you're fine.
Yeah.
But it's an hour, right? And so you got to do the set and then get off stage immediately, get paid, find transportation and get to the other club. And hopefully it's on the same part of Manhattan. But
I did not get paid. I figured I would just get paid later. For all of them. And so it came to pass. I will say, remember I was all worried about getting paid about this one gig?
Yeah.
Because I did a thing that in 7 years, you've never encouraged me to do, which is talk to you between podcasts.
Outrageous. I'm like, I'm getting a call. There must be a death in the family. Why is she calling me?
And I just had to, I said, well, I got paid for the first 2 spots at this club, but I didn't get paid last night. And I'm always shy to ask for money, except for I power through, my friends. Power through. That's what you got to do.
I would not describe you as always shy ever, especially around money.
Internally, I'm shy. Let's say that. I'm shy about money.
Right.
But if I externally allow that to be shy about money, I don't have any money. So I have to actually act upon the money query. So right. The guy texted me the sets for Friday night. And I said, are those paid? Because I got paid for the first 2, but I didn't get paid for last night. And he was like, well, you should have been paid for last night. And then he Venmo'd me.
Oh.
Yeah. So it all worked out in the 11th hour. And
When you said that, I wasn't sure, like, oh, is it because it's your first time through? It's like, is it a audition?
Yeah.
I didn't know. And
right.
I didn't want to jump in, quite frankly.
Right. And well, in New York comics, it's funny. So I had everybody's like, I wish Lori would come to New York. Corey Cahady. Was like, she used to come to New York all the time. And I was like, she was here last weekend. She was like, oh, I never do get to see her. Because here's what last night, what I did was because I didn't have a set till 10:30.
You saw Corey? Where'd you see Corey?
At the Cellar.
Oh.
Was she just hanging out? She had a set.
Oh, hey, that's awesome.
And Ophir, I've hung out at the Cellar twice this week. Mm-hmm. I was at the Stand, and I'm doing the Greenwich Village Comedy Club. The Cellar has 5 rooms, which I know you told me that.
It's hard to comprehend.
Corey gave me the tour. And Ophira was hosting and doing sets at 2 of the different rooms this week.
Oh, my God.
And so I go to dinner with my friends. It's dim sum. It's on Union Square. It was delicious. We have a nice time.
Yeah.
And then I go to the Cellar because Corey has an 8:50 set. And so I walk in, and Gina, who used to work at Broadway and New York
Gina
Comedy
Savage.
Club. Yes. Hey. She is she's running the Olive. That restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Attached right. to the and so I walk in and she's like, "Do I know you?" And I was like, "I'm a comic. I'm just here. Just put me in a corner until I'm collected by someone respectable who is accepted here at the Comedy Store." and she's like, "I can do you better than that." And she sat me next to Dan Natterman. And
my God, what's up? Do you know Dan?
Yes, remember Natterman was the one I was trapped in that last Comic Standing. I was trapped in that limo for 3 hours.
Oh my, I love it. Oh my God.
And him and Eddie Pepitone giggling at Adam Hunter being gross.
Oh,
and Adam
God.
Hunter being gross to Andy Smith and Mary Mack. And right. me trying to talk to the Meehan brothers or Mirren brothers.
Meehan.
There were 3 of them. And one of them passed away since then. But Adam Hunter had said something gross to Mary Mack and Andy Smith, and Mary Mack was like, "Why'd you ask Jackie Cation that question?" And I said, "What? I'm trying to talk about superheroes with the Meehan brothers." And Adam goes, "It's nothing." And I'm like, "Oh, fuck, Adam, what?" And he goes, "I just asked Mary and Andy if they had to fuck somebody in this car, who would they fuck? Because I'm bored." And
I said, this.
"We're trapped. We're trapped in this fucking car. Hunter, please do not."
Okay, so you see Natterman. So did you guys talk? He has a podcast, I think, with the son of Manny. Oh, I should know his name. My God, I'm such an idiot. It's 8:30. I'm tired. But okay.
He had no idea who I was. He right. could tell that what? I was a comic. Yeah. He was like, I think we've met. And I was like, Yes, we've met Dan Natterman. But he was super nice, and we just sat there. And then Corey Cahady showed up, and so I stood up because I figured we'd go, because she said she was hungry. I just eaten all the dim sum in the whole world.
Yeah.
But she was like, "Let's do this before I forget to do it." And she drags me over and introduces me to Esty. And Esty, who I have emailed with about doing Vegas, right. also did not remember me, but she deals with hundreds and hundreds of comics, and it's been a year or so.
Right.
And so she was very polite as well, but she was like, mm-hmm. okay. And then we turned around, and there's Ryan Hamilton. And I knew Ryan Hamilton when he was a baby comic, and now he has a beard like a man. and so I was like, "Hey, Ryan Hamilton." And he stood up and gave me a hug. And Corey said that was good because Esty sees everything. And
she does. Oh, my God. She does.
And then as we're walking out, Judy Gold was there.
What a night.
Yeah. And then Corey and I went to she walked me back to the other club. And next to the other club was an Italian place. And so we sat. I was like, she's like, "I'm hungry. I have to get something." And so I sat with her and I had a cappuccino and a cannoli. And she got the baked clams. She was like, "I look at this place. I say to myself, this place does good baked clams." And I have a cappuccino and a cannoli. I go and I do my set. Super fun, by the way. Man, that little Greenwich room, I mean, every single room, the Cellar was packed, was sold out, and then Greenwich was sold out. And then so then after that I go back to the Cellar and I sit at the the same table I sat with Dan Danerman with Ophira, and she gets the hummus plate, and I get another cappuccino.
Love and, that hummus.
And then Akeem was there. Akeem, I forget his last name, friend of Carmen Morales, very funny guy. And but you know, like today's Martin Luther King Day.
Right.
Every single lineup should have been Black comics.
Yeah.
It should have been a shit ton of Black comics. And it was just a couple. I was
I know.
I was like,
it's like, when International Women's Month is celebrated by like one night of female comics in March.
Yeah. And there were, you know, there were some Black comics. And of course, there should be all kinds of comics all the time, but it is nice.
I don't even know why I'm trying to lend anyone some credibility, but it could be that, you know, how maybe every Black comic was booked, so it was hard to, but you know what? Even as I'm saying this, I'm like, no.
You are, that's not.
I'm trying.
Yeah, you just want to keep getting booked. I know it. As do I.
No, it's so
No, because the thing is we're the only apologists left for, I think.
I don't feel like an apologist. I was just trying to like put the best possible spin on.
Which
laziness.
Is the definition of an apologist, my friend. There's so many comics in New York, and a lot of them. This guy, I don't know, but Corey and Ophira, but I think he's sort of a right-wing nerd.
Oh, yeah.
And when I say nerd, I'm also the last generation that will call his activities a nerddom.
Right. Yeah.
So, here's a funny story.
Around doing spots and stuff?
Yeah, he was sitting at the fancy table at the cellar.
Oh, sure.
With Esty. But the funny thing is, and I have these pictures, I kind of want to post them. There's a new look among the youth. There's 25, 26-year-old men, three guys in the restaurant part of the comedy cellar looked exactly the same. And I got a picture of two of them, and other people, not just me. You know how I think that everybody looks the same?
Yeah.
So, see that guy?
Yes.
There were four of that guy. See the guy behind him in the picture?
Yeah.
I wish I could get him to turn around because he looked exactly the same. And then, there was, because here's another one.
Right. So kind of the same guy. Longish.
Sort of unruly black
hair,
and a close beard, like the big bushy Kyle Kinane beard of the, you know, the beard that I always thought was in response to like decent men going, oh, is this what you're afraid of from 9/11? Fuck you. That's why I thought like every 18-year-old in 2002 grew that beard.
Yeah,
is because they were like, you're out of your mind if you think this beard is what's so scary. And so there was like a whole bearded youth movement. And now that bearded youth movement has turned into like what looks like Young and the Restless guys. And
maybe it's that does look probably better on video than maybe like the Taliban-esque beard you were describing.
Oh yeah, they were all three of them were very handsome young men.
Yeah,
sure. Mm-hmm. Well played, well done, youth. I haven't been able to try a lot of new stuff because of how, you know, sort of short the sets are.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to learn how to do New York comedy clubs. I did try new stuff on the sort of the Brooklyn Hat Store shows that I've been doing, and. Last night, I've done so many sets at Greenwich. I felt comfortable last night, and I did try a new thing.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, actually, the middle set last night, I tried new stuff. The second set was I got up at 1 a.m. and I was like, these people don't need to listen to me work something out. they're half of the bag. It got really cold last night too, and Judy Gold wouldn't stop making fun of the fact that I just was wearing layers.
So is you, Judy, and Corey hanging out and Ophira?
Yeah.
Or is it different nights?
No, it was the same night, but different times. Like I had I had coffee with Corey, and then I had coffee with Ophira, and I hung out with Judy, and Judy was like, we should hang out. And I'm like, right. And I have the weird thing about staying up so late, and then I sleep until 11 because I don't get to bed until 2:33, and I gotta sleep like the big cats here. I need 8 hours. And
yeah, me too, Jackie.
How was so what shows did you do this week?
Let's see. I was at Flappers a couple times this week. And then I had to, and that was fun. Always fun.
Always fun.
That was a part of the celebrity drop in, you know,
Well played.
I don't think I was a celebrity, but, fun shows. And then I was, Monique, Marceau booked me on Ueno Vino, which is the little wine store. And then I had to cancel because I had a friend who's having a birthday, and then she got sick. So then I DM'd her, and I'm like, hey, if I'm back, I'm available again.
I'm back.
She put me back on the show. So I had like three sets between coming home from New York and coming out here to Portland again, which is cool.
Well, that's right. You're in Portland.
Yeah. So I'm in a hotel. By the way, these hotels are not, there must be a new thing where they're not giving out lotion anymore. There's no lotion.
Oh, right.
My skin is so dry. It's disgusting because it's cold outside. So the heat inside here is really, really dry. Okay. I flew out on Friday night. I stayed at my sister's. She is open to doing like a Patreon podcast where it's you, me, your sister, and my sister. She's open to it.
Well, that's cool. That's great.
I hope we can figure that out.
Oh my gosh. It'll just be a half an hour, right?
I know. Eileen sounds like me and Darla sounds exactly like you. I think it'll be really jarring for people.
It's right. Siblings. It'll be an extra sibling moment.
Imagine me if I had a PhD and a separate master's degree in creative writing.
Imagine me if I were on the Rockefeller charity board and I was in Kenya visiting different rehabilitation places for victims of torture. My sister's in Kenya right now.
No.
And yeah, she's got 4 extra days at the end of this trip to Kenya. And they were like, well, you can go on a safari. And so look at this fucking picture she just
made. Oh my God. Now you and I are both like trying to get gigs there, right? I mean, wow.
Pile of zebras, no egrets.
There used to be a festival in South Africa, but I don't know what's happening in Kenya.
I talked to that guy at one time, probably 15 years ago. I was like, can I play that? Cause I know Kier Sultanovich. I know a bunch of comics that have done it. And he was like, nah.
What?
I know. It's always so surprising when someone says no.
Oh my God.
At least, I mean, especially, and I should ask him this year.
Which feels like a permanent way.
It's near the festival. It felt in a permanent way. It did feel in a permanent way.
Yeah. There's some club in Wilmington, North Carolina, or I forget, called the Dead Crow.
Yeah.
And I heard, they passed on you. But they fully passed?
Fully. Forever.
Forever?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so I hang out with my nieces who are, I guess jarring to be near teenage girls when you're raising a teenage boy, because my son is quite monosyllabic, you know, like he'll talk to me and stuff, but he definitely is like, bruh, you know.
Are you kidding me? I have 16 nieces and nephews, and I have watched the teenage worlds of boys and girls differ.
Bananas.
Boys are blessedly solid.
Yeah, the girls just don't. They talk all over the place, just clouds of words following them all over the world.
Magpies.
Yes. So we played a bunch of games, and my son was on FaceTime, so we had fun. And then Katie Nguyen picked me up because she was opening for me at this gig in Corvallis, which is about an hour south of Portland. And so we're driving, and it's nighttime, right? Ooh. And she notices that there's a car, like we're in the, say, the extreme right-hand lane of the highway.
Yeah.
If I remember this correctly. And there's a car in the fast lane. And so there's like, I don't know, at least four lanes. It's I-5. And she notices there's like a little orange lights underneath the car. And even with my glasses, I think I had my contacts on though. I did. My vision isn't great, like long-term like that. And so we're trying to figure out if it was light, like reflecting on puddles because it was raining out. And then she thought it was sparks under this car. And this all happened in like 7 seconds, right? And we're both sort of looking, trying to figure it out. And as we pass the car, the car starts to pull over. Like it puts its blinker on and pulls over into the shoulder of the fast lane, which is scary, right?
Yeah. Right. Because that's left. Yeah.
Yeah. That's left. And it's dark and everyone's going 70, right? And as we pass, the right side is engulfed in flames, like within a second.
Whoa.
And I'm like, oh my
God. His car burst into flames?
At least the right side immediately. And it didn't look like
that's
the
driver, plenty. Yeah.
The driver's side had immediate, like, it was just so bizarre. And so I called, you know, we called 911, and like the next exit was like 2 miles down.
Right.
So we didn't do anything but call 911 and tell them exactly where it was.
Yeah.
Oh, but I've been looking, trying to find out anything, but there's been nothing in the news about it. So I assume.
Yeah. There's never any closure. The last time I called 911 had to be, I was in Hollywood, on like Wilshire and I don't know, third. No, I don't know what it was, but it might've been Gower.
Yeah.
But, whatever it was, I'm at a stop sign, a stoplight, a bus goes past me and it's probably 10 years ago and the bus goes past me and you know how it has the LED readout.
Yeah.
And the LED readout as it drives by says, call 911 bus number 677 or whatever. Call night, trouble on the bus, call 911. And I spent like 3 beats going, is that real? And I'm like, well, who puts that on their bus? So I call and I say, she goes 911. I said, weird thing just happened. I'm on this corner and this corner. The bus is going east on this street. And the LED readout said that. And this is the number of the bus. And she goes, really? And I said, that's what I got. And I never got closure on that. I never found out what the hell was wrong with that bus. Or if there was just a person who was, you know, like speed, like it was
Well, this was like, you know, I'm like, did we just like witness the last moments of someone's life? And it was so, I kept thinking about this person putting the blinker on and still like behaving normally as you do. Right.
Hazards,
and then
blinker.
You're all of a sudden on fire.
Yeah.
But I've been looking, I've been looking and searching and I've seen nothing. So I assumed that they got out, but I was like, fuck, if there's a baby in the, it looked like an SUV.
Okay.
We were both more than one. Oh, fucking God.
Yeah.
But managed to have good show. Good show.
Yes.
Was able to shake it off.
Shake it off.
But as soon as I got off stage and finished selling merch, I was trying to figure out anything that happened with that accident, or with that car. The show was awesome.
Corvallis. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a like 100+ year old theater that's been renovated. And so they do comedy in it. Sometimes the people that produce the show do comedy in it.
Yeah.
And then they have like, they're having a local production of Sweeney Todd coming up. Now it was like, oh my God, it made you want to move to Corvallis because it was so cute. Show was great. It was sold out.
There you go. Woo!
As it will happen in the pandemic, not everyone showed up, but it was pretty, pretty full. You know, there's like the empty seats. And I guess some people were there for standby tickets, you know?
Oh, wow.
And then, it was good. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
I hope my camera worked because I had some fun audience stuff I would post if it did work.
Right.
And Oh, and then so I get back last night at the hotel, and I'm so dry, and there's no cream, you know, there's no lotion, and I'm like, fuck. And then I was just awake, you know, and because I have to wake up early for this podcast, I can't sleep. And my flight is until 2:30. And I remember going, yeah, I'll sleep in and just meander on back to Los Angeles. Well, no, I'm not sleeping in.
I was like, I'm sitting here going, is she expecting me to feel guilty about this? Yes. She was the one who said, yes, you are the ones. Well, on that note, let's take a break.
Okay.
Parenting. It's hard, but don't worry. You're not alone. Belly up to the low bar with One Bad Mother and let us remind you that fine is good enough.
They want to climb on different things. And how am I supposed to keep them both from dying?
There is a right way to do this. And if I can figure out that right way, I'm going to be a good parent. So that is not a thing.
So join us each week and let us tell you that you are doing a good job. You can listen to One Bad Mother on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Jackie Cation, stand-up comic. Excited to talk about another stand-up comic. The debut album from Irene 2. We're Woo. Done now. Yeah, right? Irene 2. I love Irene 2. She's so great. San Francisco comic. Irene 2's We're Done Now is available to stream everywhere, and you can get it on slick vinyl. That's right. Blonde Medicine loves vinyl, and some of you, the hipster youth, you love vinyl. You have Close and Plays. That's an old reference. But Blonde Medicine has put out all sorts of great albums.
So if you have a record player, and a lot of you do, get it on vinyl. Blonde Medicine has put out all sorts of great albums from folks like Kanis Mobley, Subda Agarwal, Anik Adele, Amy Miller. They're really cool looking. Valerie Tazi, they're... And he sent us like 10 albums and they're beautiful.
The albums, he has great taste. They have great taste in stand-up comics. They do really fun things with the hard copies. So if the albums are great, just so you know, the comedy is outstanding. But if you want a giant vinyl album in a cool color, I say do it. Because if you buy them, the profit is better for the comics, and you still get to hear the awesome comedy that is everyone and Irene too, quite honestly. So go to blondemedicine.com/maxfun to browse a selection of stand-up LPs and use the code Jackie Laurie at checkout, and you get 20% off your entire order anyway. So why don't you order several of them right away, and then you'll have them all.
Okay, so we're back. So
comic of the week.
Wait, let me finish my story.
Oh shit! I thought that was.
I'm sorry. I know you want to interrupt with a parallel story of yours, so I have to finish it in pieces. I saw an accident too. Let me veer off. Okay. So there's lots of noise outside my hotel room, and this is like around 2 into 3 in the morning, and then someone starts knocking on my hotel room door. And so I turn off my white noise machine and I go up. I go, what? Who are you? What? And they stop knocking, but they're standing there. Like I can hear
them breathing.
There's a human on the other side of this with a knife. I have
always.
And so I called that down to the hotel, and the woman answers. She's like, I'll go check it out. I'm like, I don't want you to check it out.
You stay.
You to be harmed either. I have no idea what's happening, but I just want you to know that there's weirdness on this part of the hallway.
Tell my son I love him.
Noises continued and then they kind of died down, but I was up till like 5 a.m. so I couldn't sleep.
Wow. So you only did get like 3 hours of sleep last night.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to nap after this?
No, because I'm getting picked up at 11, and so I'll finish this at 9:30. So no, there's no napping. I just had a gigantic coffee so I could even speak words to you. So I'm going to go into the hotel gym and do a little workout. And then change, and we'll drive to the airport, and I won't get home till around 7. And it's fucking raining really hard here. I'm right outside the Willamette River, though. It's really pretty. I do have a nice
cool
view.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Now can we do comic of the week?
Yes.
All right. What is it? I was the one who picked her, and she was really funny, but now I'm spacing
Sabrina
somebody.
Wu.
It's Sabrina Wu. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Thank you. It's Sabrina Wu.
Oh, my God.
Great. And it's S-A-B-R-I-N-A. That's not it's her name, right, Kyle?
Yes. Well, it's A Sabrina Wu on
the social. Oh, it is A Sabrina. I love that it's A as opposed to the. Come on. Believe in yourself, Sabrina. She was super funny. And yeah.
So where did she work with her?
I don't remember. I've done so many shows.
Yeah.
Lately that I'm just like, it's so needed to everybody. There's so many great comics that happen to be women right now. It's a fucking golden age. And Sabrina Wu is one of them. So A Sabrina Wu, find her, follow her, buy her crap, make her life, you know, let her buy land. That's how much you should, because she's great.
Let her be a property owner.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Right. It's not asking a
lot. And then let her have to spend $2,700 to block off two rats from falling the tiger. I got that credit card statement. I almost fell into a hole. I was so
I know. And I have been justifying the fact that I'm staying at my friend's apartment for me to be able to take lifts. And then I bought dinner last night. And I bought breakfast for my friends the other day.
Jackie,
and I'm like, I'm
company.
Saving so much
your
money.
Your company did it.
It's true. And this is every time I talk to Andy and I'm like, I don't know if I can do all these sets. He always goes, isn't that why you're there? I'm like, oh, hey, yeah, yeah, that's why I'm here. Thanks for that pep talk. And and so it's true. And so I would have, like tonight I'm doing Union Hall. Last weekend I was in Royal Oak doing Detroit. That was super fun. And then this weekend I'm in Grand, I leave for Sioux Falls. Yeah, not Grand Rapids or Grand Forks, Sioux Falls.
So how long is this particular road trip? It's
almost 3 weeks.
God damn, you had to pack for 3 weeks?
Yeah, I've done laundry once. It's been like 40 degrees here for the most part.
Yeah.
And
does the apartment you're staying in have a washer dryer in it?
On the first floor.
So it's a building. Okay.
It's a condo building. So okay. I think this is a condo. And she has YouTube TV too, and we got it because of Andy's mom, so I know how to navigate it. And my brother Russ was telling me to watch this Dick Cavett Groucho Marx American Masters hour and a half documentary where Dick Cavett talks about he was friends with Groucho Marx for 30 odd years, right?
Wow.
And how weird that was, because I love Groucho Marx. Groucho Marx kind of reminds me of my dad a little bit, but Groucho Marx is clearly, he's a professional comic, but the thing is, so I'm watching it and I'm at 30 minutes. I got to turn it off because Groucho Marx, he's on one of the versions of Dick Cavett's show. He gets up and walks to the audience and he's like, oh, my wife and my daughter are here. Stand up, say hi. They stand up, they wave, they sit back down. Groucho Marx turns and walks back to the panel and he says, I don't know, he must know he's still on television and mic'd, and he's talking to Dick Cavett and he goes, beautiful family, right? You'd think I wouldn't cheat.
Oh, Jesus.
And then they cut to his wife and his wife just puts her hand over her face and she's just rubbing her forehead going, oh,
no, he knew. She's
entirely knew. And oh, I was God. Just like, what a tool. And then later in life,
it sounds funny the way you did it. It sounds funny.
Oh no, it was hilarious, but it also felt true.
Oh,
and so it felt like very, very accurate. I mean, you know, he's not writing material. He's living his freaking life.
Yeah.
And which is what most of us are doing. Right. I don't know. And then
what happened? And then, your story lost steam. Where did you go?
I had to write down what might be a tag. And okay. Because I'm working
that's
on
Kyle's job.
Right. And I'm also thinking about, like, because we sent out those stickers. For the Patreon, the $10 level?
The Patreon stickers finally went out. And
people got them. Yeah.
Yeah. You sent a picture. Someone sent you a picture. But each sticker comes in its own envelope instead of all three in one envelope, which I'm like, that is very wasteful. But you get to have three little prizes, which that's always fun to open things.
It is. And I would post, our fan posted that picture on the Dork Forest Ranger page on the Facebook. And I was like, you know, your address is on this. That's something I would do. I won't repost it just because it is his address and not mine.
Right, right.
But yes, it was.
It went out. We are a legit enterprise.
Yeah. I'm psyched that it worked. So I've been trying to figure out three more stickers. Because all I'm doing is I'm taking the tags that Kyle and I cull from the shows and trying to make stickers from them. Did you see the Max Fun art?
I loved it. Yeah, the crescent.
I loved it too. I think it would be an excellent T-shirt. What do you think?
I do too. Yeah, I do too.
Okay, so maybe we talk to the Max Fun artist
game, because we have all these little notebooks and in my place. I sold books last night, and then I sold out. I brought six of each, and they did this thing where they had, before the show started, they had like a little video presentation about who's coming next, and then they said, your headliner, Lori Kilmartin, has written two books, and they put pictures of both of my books and the book covers got laughs. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. You know,
you should get that clip and put that up, by the way. That's an excellent promo clip for your reels or TikTok.
Oh, all
to sell your books. And you could post it on your Amazon page.
Okay.
See if you can get that or make your own, right? Because that what a great idea. Of course you sold out. That's such a good.
Yeah, but it made me think, well, I mean, I don't know. You can't just do that at every club. Just have a little.
No, right?
What would Carlos Mencia do? That's my new guiding light.
Jim Norton charges for meet and greets. So that's what I want.
I have to remember that every time I feel like a whore. I have to remember that.
It's you could feel like a whore, but are you getting off? It's
but do whores? I don't think they do either.
It's they are at work. I like to think of sex workers at with a shift drink. It's a bit that I've been thinking about that I've never tried. But wouldn't it be interesting to it's kind of one of those funny ideas of what sex workers sharing like a shift drink or going out after work going, you know, Bill came in. And she's like, not Bill. I've served Bill. Ugh. And or whatever, right? Like it
right,
would be
right,
like
right.
One of that situation. But I don't want it to be kind of hacky or whatever. Oh, I also did.
But wait, I'm not done.
Oh, aren't you? I'm so sorry.
No, what I sold shirts. I sold some of the shirts that Caitlin made.
Oh, cool.
Caitlin Gill. And I think I sold four. I'm not skilled at the shirt selling because they were like rolled up and people had to like unroll them to see them.
Display is all. You got to put one out.
Right. And then how do you find the sizes?
Ugh. You organize it before you, like during the feature, I just organize it. Okay. You can also pay one of the security guys to sell stuff for you. You should tip him $20. Okay. Unless you make a boat ton of money, then you should tip him more. But it's usually $20 because it isn't that much money. Exactly. Right. I don't either, which is why I'm like, here's $20.
Yeah.
And extra $20 means a meal. Plus they're on the clock. So it's a nice
Jackie, I know what $20 buys. I got it. Thank you.
Well, you were the one who was asking me about what to tip out the staff. So
no, but now I'm asking you, how do you separate the sizes? Do you like have different? Do you clip them like with like a clip that's, you know, that you write M on and then
tour roll
them together or something? What?
Tour roll. This is an old band trick, is you take the sizes, you roll them up, and then you take a piece of masking tape to hold it together and put the sizes on there.
Okay. Thank you. That's what I was asking, Jackie, not what $20 could buy at a McDonald's.
Let me tell you something about $20 at a McDonald's. Doesn't go as far as it used to. The way I sell shirts, I tend to put the shirt out and then I put a stack behind it. And I always put the largest, like I started carrying, a 3X, 4X kind of situation. And I usually I put a 4X or a 3X as the display one so that nobody has to ask how big they go.
Gotcha. That's smart.
Nobody needs to have that conversation. If you're tiny, you could say, do you have an extra small? Right. I don't feel bad for you.
Yeah.
So I don't feel bad for anybody who has to ask about a 4X, but it simplifies the situation
because most
people don't carry up to that size. So so I put the big ones out, the sort of the largest size, and then behind it I put a stack small through all the sizes, one of each, so that if I'm serving somebody else, because people are meddlers and they want to just go through and see what sizes are available, and they're like, oh, there is a large, pardon me,
right.
And then
right.
I replace it from the box.
You need a large table for all that. That's a lot.
Yeah, I like a 6. Well, remember me, I'm the freaking Walmart of merch because my garage has to be emptied. It must be emptied.
So you can refill it. I know you.
We did. We lent a couple of pieces of Chris's furniture to our friend Judy Adler's mom. Hopefully she keeps that furniture because we don't need it back. And then we also gave an old table to one of Andy's cousins. And so our garage is almost empty enough to put a car back in it. Because I would like to have a car off the street. I would like, we have two cars now again.
Yeah.
And I would like one of those cars to be in the garage.
Yeah, sure. Understandable.
Because there's been a lot of grass. Did you see Augie Smith?
A lot of grass?
There's been a lot of rain. Sorry. I moved on because Augie Smith's backyard is full of like weeds the size of his toddler's chest.
Oh my God. Is it flooding or is it just growing?
No, it's just lush. It's just, he's like, my backyard looks like, and Timothy, his youngest, is wearing what looks to be old, like an old guy's outfit. And you know how toddlers walk sometimes and that's dry? And Augie's picture catches a mid, he looks like a tiny old man as he walks through tall grass.
Oh, that's great.
Let's take another quick break.
This week on Bullseye, Tom Hanks, as you've never heard him before, mad.
You moron. Thank you for the use of the turn signal. Way to use your blinker, idiot.
That's Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
Hey guys, this is Lori Kilmartin. I'm recording this very secretly at the Oakland Airport. Jackie and I forgot to publicize or to promote. We're doing a live Jackie and Lori at Flappers on January 23rd. That's a week from today at 8 p.m. Live Jackie and Lori. We have Aaron Jackson so far, and we have Virginia Jones, and we're getting more. we've had this on the books for a while, and oh my God, it's January 23rd almost. All right, so hope to see you at a live Jackie and Lori. All right, bye.
I have two other things. I went and saw The Music Man with Hugh Jackman and Sutton.
Oh, yeah.
And it was amazing and adorable and wonderful, and they were having a lovely time. And it's my favorite of that genre of musical, that sort of era. And so I had a blast. That was super fun. And then I also did a podcast about stand-up comedy with Jesse Fox. Jesse Fox?
Vulture? Yeah.
Yeah. I think, did you do it yet?
Yeah. Is it the good one?
Yeah.
So
yeah, he breaks down.
He picks a joke or what joke did they do?
I gave him the hospital chunk about my dad. I picked one of my dad chunks.
Yeah.
Because I thought it had more sort of potential for stories and stuff because I didn't know what the heck he wanted to do with it. And it's a 13 minute bit. So on the album, on the Staycation, it breaks down into four bits.
Yeah.
Because it's talking about my dad flirting. It's talking about my dad, the mattress thing. It's talking about my dad, whatever. It's like four different chunks. And then the cement mixer. So the hospital bills and then the cement mixer. So we spent 90 minutes where he dissected this thing ever.
Oh my God.
It was a lot. And yeah. But it was sort of flattering. Like, because that bit, the thing, before we went into lockdown, Staycation was ready to record.
Yeah.
So by the time we came out of lockdown, I had done hundreds of Zoom shows, and I did 10 weeks of stand-up, and I had dropped the Sky Club and the Pushing the Old Man bit.
Right.
And
that's an incriminating bit.
The Pushing the Old Man?
Yeah.
They're all incriminating now. But I'm thinking of bringing them back because I do.
Why don't you do an album called Incriminating Bits Were You? Right. Will you tell a story about you doing something that could be used as evidence against you in a trial?
Right, right. It's very Jeff Ross. Maybe they'll kill me. And it's essentially they would be, because every 3 or 4 years, and it does get longer, the time periods between me losing my temper and pushing somebody or saying something rude and confrontational, that I am keeping my temper long. Speaking of anger issues, right? I am keeping my temper better. I am doing all kinds of things. So what I realized when we dissected that giant bit is that it wasn't as tight as it was before lockdown, that hospital bit.
Oh, okay.
Because I had added stuff and I didn't work on it for another 6 months because I was tired. I was done. And I don't even do that hospital bit anymore, even though it's an excellent PSA for anyone who has large hospital bills. But I couldn't face it. So
yeah.
But it was interesting. What bit did you do on it? Do you remember? I think it was a year ago, right?
It was a long time ago. It was many years ago. I think I did the thing about pushing my son in the pool and making him speak Spanish to so I would save him.
No Inglés Domingo.
No Inglés Domingo. Yeah. Wow, that bit is officially dropped. I don't even remember.
Oh my God. When I saw Ryan Hamilton last night, all I could remember, I've known him since he was a baby comic too. And I was like, look at you with a beard. Because that was awkward, because I have the social skills of somebody's great aunt, which is weird because I had those social skills when I was 12 of somebody's great aunt. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was just telling someone about my favorite Ryan Hamilton bit because I haven't seen his long set in so long, but he's such a good comic.
Yeah.
But I liked, it was this great bit about hot air balloons being used for surveillance during the Civil War. What a weird premise. It was such an awesome.
Wow.
It was such a gig. And he had made it personal because him and his girlfriend went up in the, remember the year when everybody was going up into hot air balloons or guys were and proposing to their girlfriends?
We did that when we were in Albuquerque once.
You went up in a hot air balloon?
Yeah. I think I did it with maybe, well, I don't think Russ Rivas was in it with me. No, it was, yeah, but I was working laps, but it might've been the Ronnie Baca days.
Ugh. Russ Rivas.
Anyway,
kill me.
Here's my point. You fell over and actually lost consciousness as I said. I did. I would not do it again, having seen hot air balloon accidents on the news. And I can't believe I put myself in such danger.
And then you lived, though. You lived. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well played.
Yeah. My lesson has, I lived and I did not tempt the gods again.
I added the middle of Colorado bit to my Comedy Works run next month, where so I think it's Hamilton. So I am on the road so much this month, and I was like, oh, I can't wait to be home in February. I am not home in February. Right now, this week, I'm here in New York, and then I go to Sioux Falls, and then I come home for 3 days, and I go to Sunnyvale, and do Rooster Teeth Feathers cock-a-doodle-doo. And then I come home for a couple of days and I go to Traverse City, Michigan.
Yeah.
But then I am home for a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But then I picked up a, I think it's Hamilton. It's on Valentine's Day. Wait, why don't I have it in my book? I think it's Hamilton, Colorado. Silverton, because they have silver mines. Yeah, Silverton, Colorado.
Okay.
It's the history of, I love the history of a town. Oroville, California, clearly a gold town at some point. And now just a place with a dam. But then I'm doing Comedy Works the 16th through the 18th, and I come back, and then I'm in Vermont.
Oh, wow. I don't have Vermont on the books.
But you just did. I haven't done it in 3 years, so.
Oh, is it?
You just did it.
3 year rotation in Vermont?
I hope not.
Jesus. All right. Well. Okay.
And then I'm doing a weird one-nighter in March in Hutchinson, Minnesota. How weird is that?
Okay. That seems pretty weird. I'm at the Bloomington. The third and fourth. I'm doing off of memory. Third and fourth. I'm at Roosters in March.
Cool.
Come on out for that. That's all I can remember right now.
Yeah. Please come to all of these shows. There's some TikTok comic.
I'm in Seattle at the Here and Now, like March 11th, I think, either 10th or 11th.
Just a one nighter? A one night show? Oh, that's it happen, people.
If there's a lot of ticket sales, we might do a second night. So actually, I got to start promoting that really hard in Seattle. Yes.
Cool. So there's some TikTok comic that I was talking to Corey about last night. And she was like, she's got a lot of followers on TikTok. And I said, how many followers? You know, I have 131,000 followers on TikTok. And she was like, oh, like 634. And I said, oh, it's never going to be enough, is it? She has 634,000 followers.
What does she do to get them?
I don't know if she's showing a nipple. I got nothing. I have no idea. All I know is I'm clipping out clips as much as I can, but some of the algorithms are bad. I got pulled from Reels Won't Pay Me this month because I did a joke. It was a positive sex joke, but they said that I broke their Reels theory or their, but I don't know if it's because they paid me 3 months in a row. They're like, we're kind of done paying you. You're going to post Reels anyway. I was trying to figure out, because I posted a clip 2 days ago, the animated clip of the LA Pets thing.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah.
I pulled just a 30-40 second clip of it, but it's one where I swore, and I was trying to figure out if they were gonna I wanted to know if it got flagged because I said the F word, but because I had already been flagged, it didn't tell me, so I don't want to ruin February. Like in February, I'm gonna post another clip of it, and I'm hoping that it doesn't matter.
That reminds me, I did Shorties Watching Shorties, or they did they animated one of my things. I couldn't find it, post it.
Yeah, find
it's my
that.
My prostitute joke. It's my first joke that allowed me to settle into New York City.
Awesome.
Kyle, she's falling over. I can barely keep my eyes open. What time is it?
Let's do another 2 minutes.
Oh my God. I want to work out. I mean, I don't want to, but I got to get it over with.
I have my rolling, you know, that noodle thing that's really hard that you roll out on. I have a travel one of those that goes flat, and then you pull these two things and it becomes. And I kind of want to roll one out, you guys. I'm getting real stiff these days. It turns out it's all maintenance in my twilight years here. And Lisa Marie Presley.
What?
Did Lisa Marie Presley die? Who died? Priscilla, or somebody died.
Lisa Marie. Oh my God. That's so,
52.
You know, when I did Conan, the middle guest was Riley Keough, who's Lisa Marie's daughter. Now her brother, Benjamin, Lisa Marie's son, committed suicide a couple years ago. Oof. And I was just like, geez, I don't know. Just, I remember being on the show and thinking, wow, she's a second guest. She's got it all, you know? And it's like, oh fuck, the level amount of tragedy that hit. And she was very super nice. I just met her very briefly at the end of the show when we did like the roundup, and she was just really nice. And I don't know. It really sucks, you know, to have that kind of loss from your little core family, you know?
Yeah. That just sounds brutal.
Yeah.
I like the idea of being a Presley or a Rockefeller, but I think that there's so much pressure in some of those like dynasty.
Oh my God. It's not
families.
Good. I'm so obsessed with the Prince Harry memoir. I'm dying for it to come to me. I'm in line on Libby. I was 17th in line last I checked. These people are taking way too long to listen to this thing and return it. I think they're listening to it. They're keeping it the whole like 2 weeks and listening multiple times. It's ridiculous.
Do you? I love to listen to. I have Audible. You don't have. I mean, Libby's free, so right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's kind of. Wow. Yeah. I don't know. All I know is
Jackie. It's been an hour.
Oh, let's get out of here.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.